Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Summer can be a little slow in the world of sports, so to speed things up a little bit, this is the Meth segment with John and Lance.
Back here on the bench, 713-780-3776. National League finally broke the long dry spell against the American League in the All-Star game.
He's the smartest one.
3-2 was the final there, and Astros, of course, were booed, as you would expect. Dusty manager, Dusty Baker. Yeah, the manager was booed. You had all three Astros All-Stars. They announced Yordan. They announced Kyle Tucker. They announced Fromber. They were booed before the game. No one cares. Boo us. You know, who cares? Seattle, you don't even know what it's like to get, you know, to get to an ALCS, and no one cares about anyone's booing. Keep booing. Seems to be going well for everybody. A couple quick notes. Alvin Kamara accepted a plea agreement that was for the beating that he and three other guys put on somebody back last year. Well, it was actually the day before the Pro Bowl in February of 2022, knocked a guy out and then stomped him while he was unconscious. Just really low rent behavior from a guy who's an NFL player. Unbelievable. But anyway, it went from a felony to misdemeanor charges. I don't know if you know this, John. This is the first time I heard this, but Tony Busby represented the guy, Daryl Green, the alleged victim, Daryl Green Jr., accused Kamara and the other eight men of beating him and stomping him on the ground while he was unconscious. While Green initially requested damages of $10 million from Kamara, a notice of removal in Louisiana court last November said that Kamara had never actually been formally served with the lawsuit. The two men reached a private settlement, according to Green's lawyer, Tony Busby. I did not know that. Busby said in his Instagram account that the settlement also includes a public apology from Kamara. Please accept my sincere apologies for the events of February 5th in Las Vegas, the apology stated. I am happy that we were able to get on the other side of this unfortunate incident, and I wish you the best for the future. I think it should have to be, I am not a believer in these statements that are crafted by agents or PR firms at all. If you have to, you know what, grown-ass man, handle grown-ass man stuff the way grown-ass man, you should have to come over there and apologize to him, and if he's willing to accept a handshake or dap it up or whatever, I don't care. But you should have to actually make a video. They should be able to, and since that man was shown on camera getting his head kicked in, you should have to make an apology that is videoed and put out there and retweeted and all that stuff as well. Make a public apology. I don't really believe in how this was. You know, I don't believe in the statement thing. The statement thing, big deal. No one even cares about that. Let me see Alvin Kamara say he's sorry for what he did.
Well, it doesn't. He's sorry because he got caught.
Yeah, he's sorry because he got caught. That's it. That's and all. He ended up paying. How much do you think he ended up paying, John? I think this is the settlement too. He's gonna do 30 hours of community service and pay the alleged victim in the fight blank amount of money for medical bills. What do you think the number is? I'll be honest, I thought the settlement's lower than I expected, especially with Tony Busby there. Well, lower than I expected.
Couple million?
$105,000.
$105,000?
That's for medical bills, so maybe that's separate.
that has to be separate. And then there's the pain and stuff.
Because there's a civil, yeah. So, yeah. Right, I'm probably wrong. That's just medical bills.
That's
yeah, because $105,000, if you don't have insurance, it is $105,000. The medical bills would be $105,000. So, yeah, I'll bet you you're right. I bet you that's just medical bills.
Yeah.
Only.
Tony Busby's involved, there's going to be more money than
that's
that.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, you're right. This cannot be the final total Busby is involved. There's no question.
Yeah, no. All right, we talked about Dylan Brooks a little while ago. And we've got some sound from Dylan. Here is Dylan Brooks talking about about his time in Memphis and how it's prepared him now for Houston.
I feel like it's like almost the exact same team from 3-4 years ago. Kind of have the same type of players. Jalen Green, like John Moran, Jabari is like Aaron. You know, these young guys that can expand their games and be one of the best or the best in the league. So I feel like around, you know, those two guys, it's like almost the same type of deal.
That's high praise. Although, who wants to be compared to Ja right now? But as far as basketball goes, it sure would be nice if he turns out to be Ja. Hasn't been Ja.
I'll take a Ja without the blickies. How about that?
Yeah. No question. If he plays like Ja, then you know that's going to be. I'm all about that, Dylan. I'm all about that. If he could play like, and you know, and maybe he can. We'll find out. He's got to take a big step, and maybe. You know, having guys that are going to be able to facilitate him more, put him in the right spots more, and I think that's what Fred VanVleet is going to do. But, you know, hey, I'll take that. If this is a young team that's going to turn into, what was Memphis, the 2 seed last year? If that's what Dylan Brooks sees, I'm all about that life. But we'll find out. Dylan Brooks says a lot of things that, you know, you should kind of shake your head at every once in a while. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, I don't know that we give enough credit. He also talked about Tari Eason. And Tari Eason is turning into a really, really, just like, you know, in middle of the first round, just like Alpi did. I mean, Tari Eason had himself a really, really good rookie season. Here's Dylan Brooks talking about Tari.
These guys are the same position as me. That's why I'm excited to work with Tari, you know, because I played against him for 1 year. You know, he's athletic. He's got a lot of potential, a lot of tangibles. And, you know, he just focuses on the little details and things like that. He can take his game to the next level.
It almost seems like Tari... I don't know. This is probably a reach, but it feels like Şengün and Tari are the guys that get talked about most by you know, from other players. Like it's not Jalen, it's not KPJ, it's not Jabari. Although no. I did see I was watching Jeff Teague was on a podcast that he does, and that group was talking about KPJ being like when he gets on a roll, he's unstoppable. Yeah, I saw that, and that was. You know, that was pretty interesting. Jeff Teague, I ran into somebody tagged me, I guess. Maybe they tagged you, and I saw it on Instagram. There were a bunch of cuts of Jeff. Jeff Teague is hilarious. As a storyteller, it's unbelievable some of the stories he has on a podcast. Do you have one of them that's clean, that you cleaned up?
It was Childish Altuve sent us
Did you watch
it? He said, I wish you guys could play this.
Well, as a matter of fact, the Wizard RJ is going to play one for you. Here he is right now talking about KP. Well, here is the group. I think it's the 502 or 520 podcast, something like that. Here they are talking about, including Jeff Teague, talking about KPJ, Kevin Porter Jr.
It did. Like, Jalen Green still going to get his shots, but the time for everybody else to shoot the ball whenever the fuck they want to? Nah, it's about to be priority down there.
No. Kevin Porter's still going to do his thing.
Kevin Porter's going to be having to do it off the bench.
I ain't going to lie. He cold. He gave us 51 games.
He cold.
I was like, damn.
Stopping him, bro.
He had 50, he had 50 on Drew. Like,
elite.
Drew took at least 28 of those. I probably had a good 12.
Why you going to put the
nuts in? Hey, I had to.
The top Christmas bowl on both of them. Ain't nobody in the league guarding him.
This is when I knew Drew was a dog. We played him again. he was at the woman was looking for him.
Damn.
Kevin Porter ain't play. He was hot.
That nigga probably was sick.
He's all he ain't playing.
Probably was sick. Was that's
like,
all.
Damn, Drew. You know me. I was like, damn, Drew, we got you 50. He's all. I'm a hater. I'm like, girl, they got you 50, Drew. He's like, I think they might have beat us too.
They might have because they beat teams at different times. They did beat Milwaukee that game, but. Yeah, you see people get excited about – I mean, Kevin Porter Jr., the talent is absolutely there. And I know that's maybe why the Rockets – I'm watching Rafael Stone. He was interviewed yesterday during the game, and I'm watching right now. This is a replay that's on ESPN. So he was interviewed, he's a guy that really loves Kevin Porter Jr. I mean, really loves Kevin Porter Jr.
No, they all do. They all do. The whole organization really likes Kevin Porter Jr. And I wouldn't be surprised. Kevin Porter Jr., as much as we're all, Kevin Porter Jr., you got to trade him. No, Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be here, and they like Kevin Porter Jr. And all of that stuff, the stuff that was going on around him, there's explanations for it. And they love the kid, too, by the way. They just think he is he was the only one that was there when Ime was introduced. He was the only guy that showed up.
And really?
I think that's kind of dumb for young guys.
Yeah,
he
was the only guy that showed up. I mean, the other guys must have been out of town, but.
Well, it doesn't matter. When you get a new head coach, you come back in town.
No. Do you know what they were doing? They may have had, what if they had a golf outing?
Well, if it's a golf outing.
What if they're playing Whistling Straits?
I don't know that
whatever.
Any of those guys play golf. I'm not sure that any of those guys play golf. You know who's getting a lot of. Run this in summer league is Jermaine Samuels. He had 19 points yesterday. He got the start. Trevor Hudgens looked really good. He had 26 points. There are some guys with the guys leaving there and with the injury to Amen, guys are getting a look. And Jermaine Samuels is a guy who's opening some eyes. Just a heads up, and we'll see whether or not he makes training camp and he's going to be part of it.
He's a G League player, 24 years old. So, everybody's
24 years old. He's already done. I mean, how are you gonna play a 24 year old
on this team? I mean, it really adds. You really add a lot of
experience.
Yeah, a lot of experience. He averaged, eight and five whenever he was his last year at Villanova. He's one of those guys like a Jay Sean Tate that you see, okay. When I say Jay Sean Tate, just meaning the type of guy that comes out of some level of obscurity, it ends up with a team and could end up sticking there and playing for a little while. I'm a big Jay Sean Tate fan. I like his basketball IQ. I'm kind of excited to see if Jay Sean Tate can become a really good bench player for this team. There have been teams interested in Jay Sean Tate too. So I was making this point earlier, John. I just feel like the Rockets, from a talent standpoint, are just ahead of, and I know it's from a percentage of roster talent standpoint and where these guys are, I'm just much more excited about the Rockets than the Texans from a talent standpoint. Now, Texans, what about you? I mean, some of them are veteran guys, who they are.
I think it's identical. I do. We'll find out. But we got a break. As a matter of fact, we'll talk some Texans on the other side. But first, you're going to talk a little QC Kinetics.
Yeah, QC Kinetics works with – what they do is they work with the body's healing power. It's called the all-natural biological therapies, and it's regenerative medicine. So when I say medicine, I mean they take the body's healing power, they concentrate it, they put it back into the achy joint. And what you get is a body that your joint begins to heal the damaged tissue, and it can start to regenerate tissue as well. So when you have the regeneration of tissue, that is going to add to your overall joint health, and so you have less pain. And that chronic pain can be alleviated with this process. You can go do all the reviews you want on QC Kinetics and regenerative medicine, and you're going to find that this is something that professional athletes prefer to the steroid shots. They prefer this to surgery because you don't have the downtime, the drug usage, and most importantly, it's not temporary. This is a fix that can last you for a long time, and I'm talking back, shoulder, hip, knee, anything that is causing you chronic pain, You don't have to just live with that pain. QC Kinetics can really help you out. Go to QCKinetics.com. There's four locations here in the Houston area. Get your health back. Get your activity level back and live your best life with QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
You're a master of karate and friendship for everyone. Damon.
To the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Reverse it.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, I'm watching the Sabalenka and Keys matchup, and you're right. Sabalenka, no flag, no reference to Russia. She is.
Nope. You're not allowed. They don't allow.
She dominated the first set and is getting her. Keys has come back, is up 4-2 in the second.
I predicted the upset. Svetlana. What was the other one?
Oh, Svitoga.
Let me get my Russian women's tennis players out. But the number one seed was beaten yesterday, which is something I'd predicted after I locked in on some tennis for the first time in forever. Svitolina. She bit Świątek yesterday, the number one seed, 7-5, 6-7, 6-2, and she moves on. She's unseeded, and she beat the number one seed, but I was not, and she was actually a pretty big dog, and I was like, man, after watching both of them, they said that Świątek wasn't her, like, grass. She wasn't super confident on grass, and one of the announcers said, boy, after watching her press conference, she really doesn't seem very confident about this surface. And I was just thinking, well, that sounds like old Lance would have just got a plane ticket to Vegas and put a little something on it, because that's how you have to do it. You have to do it legally, flying to Vegas.
NFL now.
Yep. You don't do that stuff. But I did tell a friend of mine, I'm like, hey, are you looking at tennis? Because that looks like an interesting number there. She's plus 5.5 games. And the guy only ended up playing the plus 5.5 games. He should have played the money line at plus like 450. So did you see where Major League Baseball, the Players Association, is talking about they would like to see rule changes in the postseason? Mm-hmm. And I am curious to see. I know Major League Baseball is going to say we don't want to make any changes, whatever the rules. They've already said whatever the rules are in a regular season, we should keep. But some of the things they're talking about, you know, you got 15 seconds between pitches, 20 seconds when runners are on, right? That's the current rules. And players aren't suggesting getting rid of the clock entirely, just tweaking it. Clark said players want a chance to breathe in the postseason. Quote, considering you just played 162-game season with a pitch clock, nobody's looking to play 3.5 to 4-hour games. Clark said, I don't think a few seconds here or there is going to create 3.5 to 4-hour games. According to league data, pitch clock violations have decreased over time this season, but Manfred admits it could impact an important game in October. This is something that I was a proponent of when this first was announced, that once you get to the postseason, there might need to be some changes because there's more at stake here. And I wouldn't mind maybe even in seventh inning and beyond changing some of the clock stuff, or maybe just if you want to keep it uniform throughout the game. Yeah, maybe small changes, like maybe you do keep it 15 seconds when nobody's on, but when runners are on, maybe it goes to 22 seconds. Maybe you could go to 18 seconds. It's not going to be the end of the world. I would say, and you want to avoid those 3.5 and 4-hour games. As Astros fans, honestly, John, have you ever been bothered by time of the game? I think it's because we're so into the games. I don't even care about how long the games are taking, but the general, they're not worried about Astros fans and Phillies fans. They're worried about other people tuning in as well, because TV ratings have gone way down on baseball World Series games.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the time, tell you the truth. It's going to be but I could see where major league players would be. I think 20 seconds with nobody on base will be just fine.
Yeah, instead of 15?
Yeah. I mean, so you add 5 seconds to, you know, it's really, really rushed. You don't need 2.5 hour. You don't need 2.5 hour playoff games. And by the way, the pitching is so much better in the postseason that it's the games are going to be now. Listen, Yankee, Red Sox, any Dave Martinez game or a Dodger game is going to be it's going to be a longer, right? So you need those clocks for those guys. Absolutely. Any Red Sox-Yankee game is 4.5 hours. It's ridiculous. But you don't need 2.5 hour playoff games.
No.
A 3 hour playoff game will be just fine. And if you got a 20-second clock, that'll be just fine. And it gives the guys a little bit of time to, you know,
time to breathe, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to focus and concentrate. This can't be like an assembly line thing. This is high leverage. This is what they're playing for is a much higher stakes than 162 games. I'm strongly in favor of allowing for a little bit more time so that players can think about what their next move is. They're trying to outthink the opposition. That's not going to fundamentally change. I mean, come on. Let's be smart. Let's do what's best for the game. And what's best for the game in the postseason, I'm fine keeping it this way in a regular season. But in a postseason, make some changes, even if they're small. Even if it's 18 seconds for a pitch clock and you know, and 22 seconds when or 24 seconds when men are on base. Maybe 22. Maybe they keep it 20. Maybe it's a uniform 20 all the way across the board. I don't know. But making some changes so that players have a chance to really get in their heads and try to outthink the opponents, because this is for everything. This is lose and go home. You got a chance to win the championship. Give them a little bit more time. And if the games are a little bit longer and they go 3 hours and 20 minutes, oh, man, it's definitely not the end of the world. The NFL plays 3 hour, 20 minute games. Let's get Mitch. Mitch wants to talk about the NFL, as a matter of fact. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Hey, I got a question for Lance. I'm a big Steelers guy, and I know this isn't Steelers radio, but I just want to get your feedback on what you saw with Kenny Pickett last year and what you think you'll see going into this year. I know statistically it didn't look like he had such a successful season, but if you look at a lot of his off-script work, his game-winning drive that he did in Baltimore, which I think was just tremendous for a rookie to be able to pull that off with about 45 seconds left. He just did a lot of really good things, was cool under pressure, took hits well against some really good guys. And his first four games, I believe it was like Buffalo, Tampa Bay, the Eagles, and he had some really, really hard-knock teams that he had to go through and get some experience with. And I kind of want to relate this to C.J. Stroud, because his first game's against Baltimore, and I think getting these guys exposure to these kind of teams in the beginning, you know, you saw Kenny really grow after about week, you know, 6 or 7 of starting. And do you think C.J. Stroud going through like what Kenny did, kind of going through the gauntlet with Baltimore week 1 and a couple other tough teams, you can kind of see the progression, not really from a statistics standpoint, but just from a calming presence and being able to kind of carry a team?
Good question, Mitch. I think we can both answer this, John. Nice to have the Yinzers listening. That's what Steeler fans are called, Yinzers, people from Pittsburgh. I don't know if you know that, John. So
I just learned what a glizzy is yesterday. So
Yeah. And then blickies are guns, so you know.
Yeah. Flickies?
Blickies.
Blickies?
They got a lot of those in Chicago high schools.
Why are
you
they
saw all
blickies?
Of them. You don't ask me. I don't make these words up. Why are they glizzies?
I wasn't
sitting in on the blicky conversation. Like, what are we going to call guns now? We've had straps for years. They're heat, they're tools, they're pieces. What's something that we can do that's really going to hit with the young kids? What about blicky? That sounds like a character from Roblox.
That sounds like a
character from Minecraft. Blicky. How many blickies do you have in Minecraft?
You can rhyme it in a rap. That's why.
Yeah. Now, that's actually a really good point, John.
Right.
Blicky is very rhymable. Right. So a strap, but so you need something new. It's just kind of an updated term. I actually think so. Really good analysis by Mitch. Agree completely. As somebody who watched him, here's a big difference between him and C.J. Stroud you have to look for. Kenny Pickett was a 4-year starter. C.J. Stroud was a 2-year starter, right? So I think that's the big advantage of having 4 years is the weird thing with Kenny Pickett is his first 3 years, incredibly unimpressive, just normal run-of-the-mill seasons, no big deal. And then he had a monster fourth season with Jordan Addison as his wide receiver. Over 40 touchdowns, his interception total wasn't excessively high, threw for a ton of yards, was a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate that I think should have been given more. I don't think enough attention was paid to him as a Heisman candidate. Then when I watch the tape, I'm like, still gets a little bit nervous about pressure that's not there. Kind of just feels ghosts in the pocket that aren't there. There were some things that, but he was accurate. He threw on time. And so there was things I liked and things that I was concerned about. And so going into the year, I wasn't really sure what to expect. And early in the season, I'm like, still not really sure. And then as the season went on, John, he got better and better. And that Baltimore game, I was watching that game. That Baltimore game, he was really, and there was a couple of drives he had to have in that game.
They're excited about him.
He was really confident. I actually think, I'm actually very confident. I thought that, now, obviously, I missed on this because I thought Malik Willis with his talent and potential and then Kenny Pickett with his experience and maybe not quite as much physical talent as Malik Willis, I thought it was, you know, the higher floor was Kenny Pickett. The higher ceiling was Malik Willis. Well, Kenny Pickett now going into year three is considered a guy with a real arrow up because he seemed to grow into – you know, a second-year quarterback in his first year. Malik Willis, they say, is going to have to fight for the third-team position and may not even make the team in Tennessee. So what a change of events.
Yeah, saw a headline. Headline said Malik Willis is outplaying Will Levis.
They haven't even been in camp. They haven't even been in camp. Like, people are already starting their narratives. Like, what can we do to protect Malik Willis? We must protect Malik Willis.
We must protect
him. Are we going to do to protect Malik? Like, guys, let this play out. These are grown-ass men. Stop treating him like he's a child. How embarrassing to treat somebody like he's a child. We'll protect him on Twitter. This guy isn't a child. Y'all need to stop acting like that. But anyway, no, I think Kenny Pickett, I think the future's pretty bright for Kenny Pickett. I still wonder what his highest end is going to be, but he stopped doing all the dump downs. It stopped being a dump down to Najee Harris, and he started going Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. I mean, he's got some guys to throw to now. So Kenny Pickett is he a guy I'd look at fantasy football? No. But is he a guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Do I feel like, hey, we might have our guy? Absolutely. Did you like him last year? I don't want to oversell Kenny. I think some people are kind of overselling Kenny Pickett right now. I don't want to do that. But I feel comfortable that you have a good chance that you have found your guy. Now, what does that mean? What does his ceiling look like? I don't know. But you just want to know that you're in the right lane after a couple of years. You just want to know, oh, you know what? We do have our guy. We don't know who he's going to become, but we know that we did a good job with our draft. And I feel pretty confident Pittsburgh did the right thing, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, they're really excited. And, and that's hard to make a Steeler fan excited, that's for sure. We'll find out if we got our guy. Let's talk Texans on the other side, like we said we were going to and never did. We will do that when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now you're talking about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, Craig DeCerf has been very impressive for years out there in Angleton. He left Houston. He was at a dealership that was sold. It went from being a mom-and-pop individually owned to a big, a conglomerate-owned dealership. And man, once they sold, that dealership went in the toilet. It's amazing. And frankly, it was after Craig DeCerf left. Craig DeCerf has been a highly regarded general manager of dealerships because of the way he treats people, the way his honesty with customers, and the way that he maintains his shops. I mean, you have the same people staying there for years and years. The service department is, they double stock everything so they can get you in and out quickly. He tells his sales staff, we are not going to hustle or hassle anyone. They are in charge of the car buying experience. We're there to answer questions and help them get the best deal possible so that they're excited enough to get another car from us and tell their friends, family, and coworkers about us. And that's what happens. Whether it's a GMC product like the Sierra pickup truck or a Chevy like the Chevy Traverse I drive, or maybe it's a Buick Encore, Buick Enclave. They've got great vehicles, great finance rates, but more importantly, they give you higher trade-in value and a better selection than most of the other dealerships out here. They're in Angleton. It's a short drive out into, outside of the the city limits of Houston, but what you get with Angleton is a much lower price and customer service that can't be beat. They'll even bring cars into the city of Houston for you if need be. So make sure that you start your car buying experience at LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubek, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sabalenka came back and won. Beat the American. Russia wins again. They're better than us. But she's moving on. And that's the most women's tennis I've watched in maybe my life. So I'm pretty proud of myself. And listen.
I'm proud of you, too. Women's tennis is good to watch. I don't see a difference between women's golf or women's tennis. I think they're both fun to watch.
No, they are. Women's tennis is a good product. So is women's golf.
Can I tell you the rabbit hole that I'm currently in right now, although I'm kind of waiting, is Pranks Gone Wrong. I am a big fan right now of guys getting messed up. Now, unfortunately, I did see that a guy was shot and killed because of a prank. And it was some prank video that was done, and three people, I don't know, in Georgia ended up here it is, three teenagers. An egging prank gone wrong left a man dead in the street. Now three teenagers are charged with his murder. It's not like you and I've seen top-notch idiots. We already know at some point somebody's getting messed up bad.
That just makes me uncomfortable. I like crooks getting theirs.
Oh, yeah. Instant karma type videos, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I follow him. I forget what it's. I'll find the name of it, but it is really, really, really good when guys come up and robbing people with guns, and then they get shot. That's fun.
I find those too, and I'm like, it's satisfying. I don't know what else to say. I don't care. We don't know this. I see people. This man has. We need to address the fundamental situation of why someone and the people. No one's worried about that when they're killing somebody or taking all their stuff. So I've gotten to the point where I'm like, it really is an FAFO situation. If you want to put other people's lives in danger, then something bad happens to you. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
Honestly,
no.
You're not worried about me. I promise you. That's why I don't care about. That's why I don't pom-pom for players' money or whatever, or owners' money. I don't care how much it costs the owner. I don't care how much the player's making. I'm just so glad he got the bag. Are you a family member or friend? Because he doesn't care about you. I promise you, he won't spend 1 second, that athlete, caring about your bag. And for fans to care so much, I am so happy for him. I am so happy for Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet, I see this all the time. Man, I'm so happy. I love to see him get paid. I promise you, you're not going to get a cent. He's not going to invite you for drinks, nothing. You're not family. You're not friends. If it was a friend or family member, I could see, like, hey, it may benefit you.
Yep.
But I promise you, just Twitter guy, it's not going to benefit you, Twitter guy. I promise you.
So, Trent Williams. Man, Trent Williams is unbelievable. Trent Williams did you ever see him working out with Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Trent Williams has some of the best. He is big.
He had an offensive line clinic here in Houston, by the way. He had some offensive linemen.
Yeah, no, he loves Houston. Yeah. And after the Texans, when they needed a left tackle, instead of signing Trent Williams, they went out and made that trade. Now, Laramie's real good, but Trent Williams is still one of the best offensive tackles in the league, and they could have had him for nothing. They're not giving up all those picks, and who knows where the Texans would be right now,
right?
Because they're paying Laramie the most money. You give that money to Trent Williams, and you still have all of those picks. You might be a lot. No, you would be a lot deeper and a better organization. But they didn't. Now Trent Williams went to San Francisco, and he worked with DeMeco. Here's Trent Williams talking about getting DeMeco to be the Texans head coach.
Oh, I think they got a steal. I think he can be a staple for this organization for a long time. He's a very talented coach, obviously. Has a pedigree, played the game for a long time, played it the right way, and he coached it the right way. So I think he's going to have a lot of success out here.
And then, you know, DeMeco was on the other side of the ball, obviously. So Trent Williams knew and worked with him some. But he did work with Bobby Slowick a lot, because Bobby Slowick was on the offensive side of the ball. Here's Trent Williams talking about Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, Slow is a brilliant mind. He's a big part of Cal's system and huge help. You know, sucks to lose him, but, you know, happy to see him further his career and move up the ranks. So I think he's going to do an excellent job.
So are you worried? Is there any concern whatsoever him calling plays for the first time?
Slowick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think anytime you have a play caller, I think it's less about understanding how to set things up. One of the things that to me, so the play action offense of the West Coast style that Mike Shanahan made famous, and then Kubiak was off that tree, and then Kyle Shanahan has been maybe the most popular guy off the tree, and he's had a lot of guys had success off of his tree, right? One of the reasons I always felt like after watching a bunch of different offenses, doing a bunch of offensive line studies from 2010 to 2014, before I got into NFL stuff, I was writing offensive line articles. I'd watch every NFL offensive line every week. And one of the things that became apparent, and this is after Gary Kubiak was gone, was, you know what? Gary Kubiak's system was in theory, the zone scheme system is the best system. Because you have to, now it's altered because they have a lot of gap scheme stuff, but it allows you to do so much out of the passing game. And Gary just couldn't adjust on the fly. And Gary was too, Kyle Shanahan has shown an ability to integrate different types of offensive concepts to his offense, where Mike Shanahan and Gary Kubiak were like, we just have to execute, just out execute, and the system is the system. And Kyle Shanahan, being a younger guy, said no. We need to make some changes and become more current. And I think that's why it's evolved into what it is. And so I think if Bobby Slowick is comfortable with the philosophy of the play calling, it will come around for him. Of course, at the end of the day, the elite play callers are the ones who can keep defenses on their heels, because they don't know what's coming next. They keep them guessing. And there's no way Slowick can – I think you have to be in that situation, right? How can you know if you're a good play caller until you've been in high leverage situations? And how many high leverage? I guess they're all high leverage, John. In the fourth quarter, if you're trying to win a game, that's just as important to the Texans as, you know, a playoff game is to the Astros.
Well, he's on the headset for, you know, every call that Kyle made, and they talk about, you know, I'm sure all week long,
game planning and installation.
We set this guy up. We set that guy up. We're looking for something. We're looking for getting tips, you know, from the defense, and everybody's got eyes on, you know, where we have an advantage, which is something that they just never, well, they're not going to have a lot of advantages at wide receiver. They're just not. I mean, unless Tank is on somebody that's slow, and you got to take so much advantage of that. But this wide receiver room is different than San Francisco's wide receiver room. So you ain't going to have that many advantages unless Mechie and Tank step up and become huge parts of this offense. So, but being on that headset for Kyle, who is the best, I think the best, what he's done and with his offenses, it just seems like he might be the best in the business right now. And, you know, being on the headsets for a few years with him, learning from him, I'm going to bet on Bobby Slowick. It's just whether or not you can pull the trigger when the stakes are at their highest. And, what, like you said, when you're trying to win a game, if you can go back to something that worked in the first quarter or something you saw in the first or second quarter and then use that to your advantage in the fourth quarter, that's going to be interesting to see whether or not Bobby Slowick has that ability.
Finding.
We're late for a break.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am really, really excited. I mean, I get excited about my clients, and I use all of my clients, like Linville, like Chastangs, like Billy Brown. I mean, all of these guys, Aqueduct Plumbing. I can't be more excited than I am about Coors Light. It's almost impossible to be more excited than the beer that I drink, that I love, that I have on a daily basis, that I have a love affair with, this Coors Light. Coors Light, and when you're in Texas, the one thing you want to be is chill, especially at the heat that we've got in the summer, and there's nothing like the chill. I know immediately that my beer is going to be refreshing. It's going to be cold. It's going to be crisp. It's going to be clean. It's the cleanest water you can get, that water that they use in Colorado. It is to me, it's the best tasting beer. It has it all, and it's chill. And I'm going to be chill. I'm going to continue to be chill, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make Wisconsin chill now because, oh, there will be some Coors Lights flying. I can guarantee you that. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, and you want to keep chill, Coors Light, baby. Pick up a 6, 12 case. Make sure you got some in the fridge for your buddies coming over. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
A tug of war. 22 nameless men grappling in the mud. They call it pro football.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Offensive Masterminds, running an outside zone on your intelligence. John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We are running an outside zone on your intelligence. Thank you, Spencer. 713-780-3776. The Cougs football team, Dana and a contingent of players meeting the media today for media days at AT&T Stadium. Three questions Joseph Duarte asks. What are your expectations for the Cougs this year?
Are you asking me or is that?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
I thought you were setting up a soundbite. Oh, okay. My expectations are probably, well, I can tell you this. I was really shocked at what other people think is going to happen to the Cougs, which is not great. So
why are you shocked at that?
I don't know. I'm used to the Cougars winning a bunch
last year.
You're basically saying that the Cougars, that the level of play is so much lower where the Cougars have been. And I guess you have to say that now. If the Cougars who have won a decent amount of games over the last several years, and now you move into the Big 12 and you're immediately expected to be terrible with Donovan Smith coming, because make no mistake about it, the numbers I'm seeing think the Cougars are going to be bad. Like, they have no chance of competing in that conference. All I can think of is that they think the level of play was really low where they came from. So, I don't know. I was just a little surprised by that. So, I guess my expectations are below 500, you know, 5-7.
What would be an acceptable Big 12 year?
I think a 7-win season. And maybe even a 6-win season, honestly.
Acceptable? Okay, what
for me? What my
in the 8 games in the Big 12?
Oh, I'm just going total schedule. Acceptable?
I think they've got to win 3 out of 4 of their preseason games. They have to.
Yeah. So, well, I'm giving you total wins.
Did you see?
Acceptable to Lance or to Rene Couture and the people who have been paying
acceptable
Dana.
To Coug, acceptable,
okay, well,
acceptable
my numbers
fans.
Are going to be lower than theirs. Acceptable to Coug fans, honestly, you want to know the truth, whether you think it's realistic or not, I think he needs to win 7 to 8 games for Coug fans. Total.
8-4?
Yep.
In your first season?
I don't think it's realistic, but I think Coug fans right now, I think just talking
to Coug
fans.
I think a 7-5 season would be very acceptable.
We're talking to Coug fans, there's a lot of people who just don't like Dana and they want Dana out. And you know how once you get fan bases, you get fan bases that are like that, once they get to that way on a player or a coach, it is hard to sway them. You have to really outperform their expectations by quite a bit. And they're waiting just to pounce on you anyway as soon as something goes wrong.
Well,
that's what's tough.
they were. What did they win last year? Were they 5-7? What was their record last year? And you're going to go into a tougher conference with Texas and Oklahoma?
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying my expectations versus their expectations, I think, are totally different. I mean, for me, I'd say, you know what? I think 6 wins ends up being a decent year, and 7 is a solid year in their first year with no – you know, they lost their quarterback, but there's – I don't know. Maybe it's unreasonable to say that Donovan Smith could perform as well as Clayton Tune.
Donovan
maybe that's
Smith's got to win the job, first of all. Lucas Coley
really?
Stepped up and – Yeah,
okay.
In the spring.
Yeah, because Donovan Smith only got in last year at Texas Tech when there was an injury. He was not the original starter.
No,
so
but
that's a
he
good
did
point.
Play. He played 21 games at Tech.
Yeah,
so.
And he had some moments for sure.
Yeah.
Big
guy,
he's, like 6'4", 230, like, or 6'5".
Yeah.
He's a huge quarterback.
Yeah, and that's another one of the questions. I think a bowl game, a 6-6 season would be – to me, that would exceed expectations. The expectations are really low.
They're low
for this team.
I know. That's
in.
What I was telling you.
It's not easy going from the American into the Big 12.
It's hard.
You need totally different. Plus, they don't have the. I mean, it's not even. They don't have the NIL money that the other schools have. They don't have the facilities that the other schools have. They don't have the fan backing that the other schools have. I mean, this is a work in progress, and it's going to be, and to be realistic about it, a 6-6 bowl season would be an exceptional job. And Dana's done this before. He did it with West Virginia. I don't know if this is any easier. He doesn't think that it's easier, but he's not. You know what? This is it. This is his lot in life. He made his own table. I mean, he made his own bed because, you know, He recruited all these players. It's not like he's just walking in and we're going to the Big 12. He's been here for a few years, so this is where the program is at, and he's got to win games. He's got to win football games. There's no question about that. He's got some talent. One of them, the third question by Joseph was, what's next for Golden, a sophomore wide receiver? Man, you are losing a lot when you lose Tank Dell, but Golden's got the ability to really, really step up and be a go-to guy in this. You know, you got Manjack coming back. They're not bad wide receiver. They're still pretty good.
Honestly, I think they're gonna have a hard time hanging on to him. From a poaching standpoint, I think this will be his last year. If you really want to know the bad news, I think once Golden is the showcase guy and it's not Tank Dell anymore, and Golden starts racking up touchdowns, which I expect to happen. He's really talented. I think they're going to have a hard time hanging on to him because the reality is people go steal from your roster and they give him a bunch of money. And I think Golden for this year is really good, but I do worry for Dana. McCaskill got stolen with a knee injury. You don't think that somebody's going to try to steal a healthy Golden? They're going to come with a huge offer for Golden. Yeah. That's how... This whole thing is just, it's unfortunate the way you can take, you know, if you want to pay your own guys to keep them or whatever, that's fine. But it just kind of sucks what's happening with how guys are getting stolen from rosters. I'm just not real comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-3776. We'll see. We'll hear what they have to say.
You know, John, that's why John Daspit giving $1 million to Houston's football team is a really big deal. That's why Tillman Fertitta getting involved is a really big deal. I know they'd love to get Mattress Mack money. He only does basketball right now. But that's why Cougars, you know, Texas raised, I think it was $12 million off the jump when their collective started reaching out. Houston this year, I think, is going to be in the neighborhood of $2 million. Look at the difference. And that was just the initial raise from whatever the name is for Texas's thing.
$2 million. Quinn Ewers is getting $2 million.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the huge difference is eventually some other University of Houston alumni are going to have to, or business people are going to have to step up. And I think that's what Dana and everyone else is going to worry about is going into the Big 12. I mean, you got money people at TCU who are willing to chunk in there. Baylor, I think, has some of the same issues Houston has, but we'll see how that works. Texas and Oklahoma will be gone. But, yeah, the NIL thing is so much bigger a piece than people realize when it comes to recruiting
and keeping
your best players. Ask Pick with Jordan Addison.
Hey, keep your plumbing problems to a minimum. Why don't you get a checkup? What is the problem? Do you have a high water bill every month? You might have a leak. My sister-in-law had them over. They looked all over the house, and they said, no, there's no leak anywhere. You need to call the water department and get this fixed because they're overcharging you because you don't have a leak anywhere. This is the kind of stuff that they do. They will go leak detection. They will clean your tankless water heaters. They will repipe if you've got old pipes. Why not do this before they crack? There's all kinds of stuff that you can do, preventative plumbing, so that you're not in a situation like Lance and I have been in where we were forced to do some major work because we didn't take care of business. Take care of business, Lance.
Yeah, and that's what they do for you. They will take care of business for you, finding those issues to make sure that, you know, you don't end up having a bill. If you don't find the issues up front, they'll find them later for you. And it will be so much more expensive because it will cause other issues. That's why if you start to have something that you're concerned about, just reach out. They don't charge you anything to come out there, and they will give you the honest answers and find what's going on right up front. And if there's nothing going on, they're more than happy to tell you that as well. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?